again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, coming to you once again, nearly almost live. Okay, not really live, recorded, but hey, close enough. Yeah, here we go again with another week in technology, which of course we love to talk about here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, because after all, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network.
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network.
TechPodcasts.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, indeedy, and we got the promo in within the first minute of the podcast. That's got to be a new record. Yes, indeed. Alrighty then, off to a great start here on Saturday, February the 17th, as I record this. I have no idea when you're listening. You could be listening in the year 2010, for all I know. But most likely you're listening, probably Monday-ish. Monday-ish, that's a word that I just came up with. At any rate, the point is, I get a lot of emails from people that say that they like to record the podcast. I know people who say they put it on like CDs and stuff, and then they listen to it on their drive into work on Monday morning. So, hello there on Monday morning. Even though I'm recording this on a Saturday morning, but that's neither here nor there. Okay, anyway, the point is we got a lot of cool stuff for you this week. First of all, I will say we're not doing a video netcast this week. I know that's a shocker. But you see, I have much going on today, and I don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm recording the audio podcast, skipping the video, because the video requires lots of mastering and lots of editing and post-editing and stuff, and it just takes up a whole lot of time, and there you go. But I am working on some stuff that'll make the audio better, because last week's audio was terrible. It was just terrible. I got very chagrined about the audio last week. So, I'm going to try to get that fixed. And the way that I figured out how to do it, you see, is going to be very unusual, because you remember how they make the old movies and they had those clappers that, you know, they slap together and they would be able to sync the sound later with the video? I'm going to make one of those thingies, and then I'm going to sync video with audio at a later point in the editing. So if my mouth isn't matching my words, you'll know why. But as I say, we're not going to do the video netcast this week, but we have lots of good stuff. As a matter of fact, right from the get-go here, ever wondered about the word get-go? What is it about the word get-go? I mean, what does that mean? Anyway, point is, right from the top of the podcast this week, we're going to have some Weird Al geek culture. Now, you know I love Weird Al Yankovic. He's just so cool. And apparently he's a bit of a geek himself, because he sings songs about geekiness. And so the geek culture this week is very apropos, which is one of those highfalutin words for appropriate. At any rate, here's the thing. The Weird Al song this week is about virus alerts. Now, first of all, let me say, it is a pet peeve of mine when people send me emails that say, "Look out, there's this terrible new virus on the internet. Tell all your friends. Oh, no." Okay. First of all, I don't want to get all the emails about the latest, greatest virus on the internet, because I have an up-to-date virus scanner. And that's the best I could do anyway. Plus, I don't open attachments. So there's no need to warn me. There's no need to tell me don't click on an email if it says your, you know, ragdoll Sally is green, whatever. You know, I don't need to know that. Okay? So don't send me those emails. First of all, it's dumb. Second of all, I'm not interested. Third, I'm not going to get a virus anyway, because I practice safe computing. Okay? So, it's odd that people feel the need to send out emails that say, "Look out for this terrible virus." And apparently, it ticks Weird Al off too, because he came up with this song called Virus Alert. Very strange. I think you'll like it.
Hey everyone, listen up, your attention if you please. We wanna give you a warning, 'cause I found out this some 16-key cheese. Better not go taking the chances under no circumstances should you open it, or else it will. Translate your documents into Swahili. Make your TV record Chile. Nutrient pests and give your laundry static clean. Look out, she's gonna make your computer screen freeze. Look out, erase the Easter eggs off your DVDs. Look out, erase your hard drive and your backups too. And the hard drive of anyone related to you. Virus alert, you need immediately before someone gets hurt. Forward this message on to everybody. Soon, very soon, it will make all the pain peel off your wall. Shower, so just trash it now, or else it will decide to give you a permanent wedgie, legally change your name to Reggie, even mess up the pH balance in your food. Look out, it's gonna melt your face right off your skull. Look out, and make your iPod only play Jethro Tull. Look out, and tell you knock knock jokes while you're trying to sleep. Look out, and make you physically attracted to sheep. Look out, steal your identity and your credit card. Look out, buy you a warehouse full of pink leotards. Look out, then cause a major rift in time and space and leave a bunch of tweaky rappers all over the place. Let's ride, it's a virus alert. You need immediately before someone gets hurt. Forward this message out to everybody. Virus alert. You need immediately before someone gets hurt. Send this to everybody. Tell everyone, you know, tell everybody now. If you get infected, you'll wish you had never been born. So before it emails your grandmother all of your porn, turn off your computer and make sure it powers down. Drop it in a 43-foot hole in the ground. Bury it completely, rocks and boulders should be fine. Then burn all the clothes you may have worn. You need immediately before someone gets hurt. Forward this message on to everybody. Virus alert. You need immediately before someone gets hurt. Forward this message on to everybody. Virus alert. You need immediately before someone gets hurt. Forward this message on to everybody. Warn all your friends and this to everybody. Tell everyone, you know, tell everybody.
No, not really. You don't want to do that. So don't send out those messages. You see what Weird Al is doing here. He's using parody to explain the fact that if you do that, you're an idiot. Okay? Pretty powerful computer virus, though, when you think about it, if it causes a rift in time and space and leaves Twinkie wrappers all over the place. That's a dangerous computer virus. So, you know, gotta watch out for these things. Okay. You know, right from the top of the program, I did our techpodcast.com promo, but I forgot to do a promo for another tech podcast show, so let's do that now.
Hi, this is Peter, your host for the Peter's Mac Tips Podcast. Whether you're a switcher or a longtime user, listen in on the Peter's Mac Tips Podcast, have your questions answered, see tutorials, get the latest in tips and tricks, and the latest Apple news. Head on over to the website at http://petersmactips.libsyn.com. That's petersmactips.libsyn, spelled LIBSYN.com.
Oh yeah, petersmactips.com. He needs a better URL though, you know, it's got all that Libsyn stuff and everything on it. I'm sure he's working on it. Anyway, the point is we've got lots of stuff this week. And, of course, now it is time for... the Geek Software of the Week. This week's Geek Software of the Week is mind-bogglingly cool. Are you ready? It is called AutoHotkey. It is a scripting utility. Now, with it, you can actually capture your keystrokes and your mouse clicks and all the other things that you might be doing, and then turn it into a keyboard macro so that, like, you could hit, for instance, here's what I like. Have you ever noticed the Windows key on the new keyboards that has the little key that when you hit it, the Windows screen comes up? I don't ever use that key. That's a pretty useless key, okay, because I'm just, you know, okay, I'm an old fogey. I just use the keyboard like it was meant to be originally back in the days of yore when the sun was exploding and the lights and the flat and the thing and all of that. So, I don't use the Windows key, but it's right there on the keyboard. So, if I could make that Windows key a hotkey key, then I could do Windows H, for instance, and make weird things happen. Now, how would I do that? I would use Auto Hotkey to capture my keystrokes and my various things that I do, mouse clicks, things of that nature, and then I would use it to automate it and make Windows H activate it. Then, also, it will allow you to compile those macros into executables. How cool is that? Now, on top of all that, it is open source, and it is free. Just gotta love it. So there you go. Download it, use it. It is our Geek Software of the Week. All right, next item in our pursuit of things geeky on Dr. Bill, the Computer Convention, the blog, which, by the way, you can read yourself if you'll go to www.thecomputercurmudgeon.com, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. There you go. So, next item on the blog. Dude, more computer power than you can imagine. This was announced just this past week by Intel. A chip with 80 processing cores. Think about it. There's a lot of computers. The computer that I'm using right now, as a matter of fact, the HP Pavilion laptop that I use, has a dual core. Dual core means, technically, even though it's one CPU chip, it has two CPUs. So it's multi-threading, and it's doing cool things, and it's very cool, and it's very powerful, and I like it. I really like my laptop a lot. I'm petting it right now. It's a very nice laptop. Anyway, the point is, imagine, if you will, a tiny little chip the size of your fingernail that has 80, not 2, not 4, 80 processing cores and is capable of more than a trillion calculations per second. A trillion, you can't even conceive of the immensity of a trillion, and yet it does a trillion calculations per second, which is a teraflop. Why do they come up with these terms, teraflop? I mean, it sounds like you're terrifying a pancake. What is a teraflop? Anyway, it's been unveiled by Intel. It is awesome. Okay, this thing rocks. Now, it says here in the article, the chip achieves performance on a piece of silicon no bigger than a fingernail that 11 years ago, notice, not 12 years ago, not 10 years ago, 11 years ago, required a machine with 10,000 chips inside it. Dude. The challenge is to find a way to program the mini cores simultaneously. Current desktop machines have up to 4 separate cores, while the cell processor, get that tongue right back in there. There you go. The cell processor inside the PlayStation 3 has 8 cores. Of course, gaming machines are going to be more powerful than your desktop computer because they emulate reality within the computer console and therefore have to have lots of computing power, which is why gaming tends to be ahead of the curve in terms of technology before we get it into regular computers, which personally I find a little sad since I don't game. But the game master that sits over here in the couch beside me, he kind of thinks it's cool. So, what are you going to do? Anyway, each core is effectively a programmable chip in its own right, but to take advantage of the extra processing power, programmers need to give instructions to each core that work in parallel with one another. Basically, it means they're going to have to come up with operating systems and stuff for this new chip before it will be useful. But still in all, think about the technology that's coming down the pike. Dude, it's going to be so cool, all right? We're going to have computers the size of, you know, tiny little boxes that are like 1 inch by 1 inch high that are going to be as powerful as, you know, whole government installations buried underground that you have to go through a tunnel and come out, you know, with the things and the guards and all of that. It's just going to be cool. Okay, next item. Nostalgic for old TV shows? Why, of course. I wouldn't be the computer curmudgeon if I wasn't. Then YouTube's coming to the rescue. YouTube will start carrying TV shows like I Spy. Remember I Spy? That was kind of a cool show. It had Bill Cosby and what was the other guy's name? I don't remember the other guy's name. But later on, he played the FBI agent on The Greatest American Hero, and that was cool. He was kind of more curmudgeonly at that point than he was in his early days on I Spy when he was with Bill Cosby and they were spies and. Never mind. Anyway, and also Gumby. Who could forget Gumby with his little horse, Pokey? Yes. That takes me back. Anyway, these kinds of shows will give you a blast from the past on YouTube. And I know you're waiting with bated breath. Now, there's another term that you have to wonder about, bated breath. I realize it's spelled B-A-T-E-D, baited. But still, it tends to bring to mind B-A-I-T-E-D, baited, as in the bait you put on a hook when you go fishing. And somehow, a worm on your breath just doesn't bring, you know, things to mind that are useful. But I digress again. Anyway, next item. This is a follow-up on the VLC player. Now, a few weeks ago, we had the VLC player as our Geek Culture of the Week. And, of course, since I mentioned Geek Culture of the Week, I have to play the Geek Culture of the Week official intro music. Although this isn't technically this week's Geek Culture of the Week, it's actually a Geek Culture of the Week from a few weeks ago, but I had to play it anyway because I mentioned the term Geek Culture of the Week, because every time I do that, then I have to play that music. So I guess I won't say that anymore, otherwise we'll be playing that music over and over for the rest of the podcast. Anyway, the point is, the VLC player is a cool thing. It is free, it is open source, all the good things that we like about such things. However, here's what I decided to blog about the VLC player, and that is, I was playing. See, I like, the doctor likes to play with technology. I'm constantly playing with odd things, new, cool, strange things. And I had this computer. And this computer was an 800 megahertz computer. Now, it happens to have 2 gig of memory. Get that tongue working yet. 2 gig of memory in it, which is unusual for an 800 megahertz computer, but then I do unusual things with technology. Anyway, so I had this computer and I was thinking, you know, it's a little underpowered. Wouldn't it be cool to put Xubuntu on it? Because Xubuntu is written specifically for computers that are underpowered. Okay. So, I installed Xubuntu, and I was working with it, and I was enjoying it, and it was fun, and, you know, and I thought, you know, actually, if you're going to surf the web, you're going to have Flash, so loaded Flash, and it, I mean, I'm sitting there, this is so cool, I'm sitting there surfing the web with Firefox on Xubuntu Linux, and I come across a page that needs Flash, and I just click the button that says download the Flash player. It just installed and worked. I didn't have to do any funny, geeky, Linuxy stuff to make it work. I was just so impressed and happy about that. And then I got to thinking, you know, if I'm going to play stuff on the web like, oh, I don't know, audio and videos and all these kinds of things, I'm going to need to go find all these codecs and I'm going to need to load them and I'm going to have to get all this proprietary stuff out there. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute, VLC player has all that built into it. So if I just go get VLC player and install that, then it'll have all that stuff automatically. So I went out and I enabled the universe and the multiverse in the sources file, sources.list, on Xubuntu, which if you're not a Linux dude, you're going, what did he say? Never mind. The point is, I enabled those sources that were not the sources from the regular Ubuntu site for Xubuntu. And That allowed me then to install VLC Player directly with simply an apt-get, which is very cool. And once I did that, then I had VLC Player installed. It put it in the menu system for me. It was just so cool. And then I went to websites that had, videos and stuff like that, and it just played perfectly. And including DrBill.tv, which you, by the way, should still go see, DrBill.tv, even though I don't have a video netcast this week, you can watch all the previous video netcasts through VLC Player. Pretty cool. But anyway, the point is, it just works so well and was so clean and so fast and so cool that it just kind of made my day. And then I got to realizing that VLC Player is one of those programs that has just kind of become ubiquitous for me. Every machine that I have, I put it on there in lieu of using Windows Media Player and DivX, because it plays all the formats and it's fast and it's cool and it's open source and I like it. So there you go. All right. For the rest of the podcast, which there's not much left of, let me tell you, there's still some emails left from the Answers program that I did last week. Last week we had the doctor answers your email. Well, I've got some email to follow up with because I didn't complete it because last week I ran out of energy. You see, when you have a high energy podcast like Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, then you are constantly just, you know, thinking and just all these things are going through your mind and it's just, and you're talking really fast and it just tires you out. So I ran out of energy, so I just decided, okay, enough, let's stop. But this week, I'm back, and you know, the doctor is in, and so things are good. So anyway, let's get back to our emails. This is one from Michael. He says, there is an attorney in the town that I work in that is also a Linux enthusiast. He turned me on to Puppy Linux one day. I would have never downloaded this distro if he had not talked to me about it, because it sounded like it would be due to the childlike naming. I did a little abbreviating there. Anyway, however, this distro rocks. You would not believe it if you have not tried it. You should go download the ISO immediately and see what you think. By the way, I'm using Puppy right now, and your video cast played perfectly in the SeaMonkey browser within Puppy. Also, you can find me on your Frapper map now. That's... Oh boy, Michael, I'm glad you brought that up. You need to go to thecomputercurmudgeon.com. You need to scroll. Do you know how to scroll? A lot of users don't know how to scroll, and I know that since you're Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon listeners, you are smart enough to know how to use that little scroll bar over there on the right-hand side of your screen. That's the little thingy there that when you drag it, the screen moves up. Isn't that fascinating how it does that? Anyway, the point is, on the right-hand side of the screen, there's like this blue area of stuff. And if you go down to the very bottom of that, there's a little thing there that says, stick a pin in my Frapper map, thanks. Okay? Do that. If you go to the Frapper map, stick a pin in it, it will not hurt me. Okay? If it were a real pin, it was really sticking a pin in me, then of course that would hurt, but it's not. So, you can feel free to do that. And it would be cool. I've got pins stuck in my map from places like Hong Kong and England and Ireland and even North Carolina. Lots of places. And Hawaii. There's a guy that listens in Hawaii. Hello. Anyway, I'd love to be able to see where all you folks are from. So stick a pin in the map. Make the doctor happy. Yes, indeed. All right, so he says that he has now put a pin in my Frapper map, and I appreciate that, Mike. Way to go. All right, also, here's another one from Mike. Mike, he sent me lots of email. I like that. He said, oh, and by the way, check out Vector Linux if you've never used it. It's also a very nice distro. So he has two recommendations, Puppy Linux and Vector Linux. I tried Vector, haven't tried Puppy yet. I'm like you. Puppy Linux just sounds cheesy. You know, they ought to come up with better names. Puppy Linux. And it's got cute little puppy dog pictures. And, you know, Ubuntu sounds really powerful and cool. And Xubuntu and Kubuntu. You know, but Puppy Linux. Anyway. Okay, and I'm sure it's a cool distro. Don't get me wrong. You know, but Puppy? Anyway. Vector Linux. Now, see, the reason I tried that is because it sounds cool Vector Linux. Okay, see, I don't know, you know, I'm just that way. Sometimes I'm swayed by those kinds of things. Also, the Crossloop guy sent me another email thanking me for the podcast mention of Crossloop. I like the fact that these guys are out there creating these really cool programs, and yet they're still taking the time to listen to things like podcasts about their software and about things that are happening. It's just part of the whole open source community thing that I like the fact that we're all promoting each other and helping each other, and we have that Ubuntu spirit, you know, where we're all one big happy human family of mankind sharing life and goodness throughout the universe. It's just a good thing. Okay, next email. Here's one that someone sent me. And actually, this is Larry, a guy that goes to my church. He sent me an email because he knows that the doctor is a big-time geek, and he was having a problem. Here's what he says. I have a quick question. I was copying and pasting a map to a Word document, and now that map is on every Word document I pull up. Do you think it's a bug? It may be a virus. I have no antivirus and Adware installed, and they say no threat comes from the computer when I scan for each. Any help you can offer would be greatly appreciated. Also, I'm going to download OpenOffice, but this will be with his modem because I'm on dial-up and said it would take almost 9 hours. Now, this email is a little bit old from Larry, and I've talked to him at church, and I told him how to fix his problem. But the good news is that Larry is no longer on dial-up. He now has Roadrunner. He has joined the 21st century, and life is good. And every week he comes by and says, oh, man, Dr. Bill, I tell you, broadband rocks. I mean, it's like an epiphany that he had, that broadband is just so much better than dial-up. So if you're still using dial-up, bless your darling heart, go out and get some broadband. It's good for you. All right, the answer to his question is this, you see. Word has a default document called document.dot. Okay? And what he did is somehow he pasted his thing, map, whatever it was, image, into his .dot document. That's .dot. You see the extension is .dot. Anyway. He pasted it there, so that is now his default document. So every document he creates now has that map on it. So here's what I told him. I said, look, open up the document, document.dot, remove it from that, and save it, and then it will work. And he did that, and it worked, and he's happy. And he came by and said, you know everything about computers. And I said, well, not really. Trying to be, you know, modest and everything, even though it's actually true. Anyway, the point is, the Word document template can sometimes be a pain. And he is right. The thing to do is to use OpenOffice. And he won't have that problem. There you go. All right. Next email. This is a long email. But let's see, how much time do I have? I don't have a lot of time. But I'll read the email anyway. Maybe I'll do a little editing as I go through here. Okay, for all of us who feel only the deepest love and affection for the way computers have enhanced our lives, read on. At a recent computer expo, Comdex, Bill Gates reportedly compared the computer industry with the auto industry and said, if GM had kept up with the technology like the computer industry has, we would all be driving $25 cars that got 1,000 miles to the gallon. In response to Bill's comments, General Motors issued a press release stating, if GM had developed technology like Microsoft, we would all be driving cars with the following characteristics. Okay, you ready? Number one, for no reason whatsoever, your car would crash twice a day. Yes. Number two, every time they repainted the lines in the road, you would have to buy a new car. Number three, occasionally your car would die on the freeway for no reason. You'd pull over to the side of the road, close all the windows, shut off the car, restart it, reopen the windows before you could continue, and for some reason you would just simply accept this as normal. Number four, occasionally executing maneuvers such as a left turn would cause your car to shut down and refuse to restart, in which case you would have to reinstall the engine. Number five, Macintosh would make a car that was powered by the sun, which was reliable 5 times as fast and twice as easy to drive, but would run on only 5% of the roads. Number six, the oil, water temperature, and alternator lights would all be replaced by a single, this car has performed an illegal operation warning light. Number 7, the airbag system would ask, are you sure, before deploying. Number 8, occasionally, for no reason whatsoever, your car would lock you out and refuse to let you in until you simultaneously lifted the door handle, turned the key, and grabbed hold of the radio antenna. Number 9, every time a new car was introduced, car buyers would have to learn how to drive all over again because none of the controls would operate in the same manner as the old car. Number 10, you'd have to press the start button to turn the engine off. Please share this with friends who love and sometimes hate their computers. Phil. There you go. That was really odd, but strangely true when you think about it. All right, next email. I love your show. Thanks a lot. I'm a long-time listener. I have some questions about Geek Culture of the Week. Oops. Actually, that was Geek Software of the Week, wasn't it? I just wanted to play the drum roll anyway. So, there you go. Okay, Geek Culture. See, it's not Geek Culture of the Week, it's just Geek Culture. The Geek Software of the Week is of the week, but not the... Never mind. Anyway, he says, I really love most of them. I'm a geek, and so I love Geek Culture. Is it possible for you to post the links of where you find the Geek Culture? Some weeks... There is, some weeks there isn't. Oh, links, I see, got it. How do you find all the cool geek culture? Because I have no life. Okay? You see, being a computer geek, I don't do a lot of other things like, oh, go outside. I sit at my computer constantly all day, all night, and constantly surfing the web, and I find the geek culture, and then I make little notes to myself, ooh, this would be cool to play on the podcast. So for instance, like that Virus Alert song from Weird Al, I diligently searched through all my Weird Al references until I found one that I had not played that was computer related and was cool, and that's how I did it. It's just one of those things I do. Okay. There isn't like any one place to go to find geek culture. You just have to surf the web and find it and make notes to yourself, usually on small napkins that have coffee stains, but that's getting too technical. All right. Is it possible for you to make a short list of all the geek culture you've already put in your podcast so I can see it all? Thanks a lot. Samuel from Belgium, and he puts off to the side, which is in Europe. I knew that, actually. Anyway, the point is, Samuel, yes, I will try to do that. Okay? It's going to take a little while because I've had a lot of geek culture, and I'll have to go back and kind of, you know, scan through the podcast. As a matter of fact, if you want to do that, if you go to the website, the second little button there at the top says Podcast Show Notes. If you click on the Podcast Show Notes, it will bring up a list in reverse chronological order of all of the information about the podcast. And normally I mention the geek culture, not always, but normally I'll mention the geek culture in those show notes. So, you know, basically that's what I have to do to collect it all up. But once I do, I'll have a list and I'll make that available. Okay. Last email. I wanted to say thanks to, oh, this may still be Samuel. Anyway, I'll just read it. I wanted to say thanks, too, for keeping your podcast clean. It's refreshing to hear someone who's able to express themselves without having to resort to foul language to do so. Thank you. I appreciate that myself. That's why I listen to my own podcast as well. All right. I use Juice as my podcast netcast grabber. On your feed, I'm getting both the WMV, Windows Media, and the MP4 versions, which is the video iPod. So, do you know how I can make Juice grab only one or the other version? That is an excellent question. A wonderful question. An extremely unique and good question. I don't have a good answer for it, however. The problem is that I looked through Juice, I looked through the documentation, I went to their website, I went to the Juice support forum, and I found out that there just isn't a feature yet that does that. However, a filter has been suggested in the forum. So in the filter, you'd be able to put, I only want podcasts that end with the extension of MP3 or WMV or Windows Media File, whatever. And so then it would filter out the programs that you didn't want. See, here's the problem. There are some people that need the Video iPod MP4 video version, and there are some people that need the Windows Media Player version, and so I have to put both of them in the podcast feed for the video netcast. I could have two feeds, but that would get really confusing, you know? And I don't know. Maybe I should do that. But in the meantime, I think that the podcast aggregator software is going to get better, and Juice is very, very receptive, Juice Receiver, to taking suggestions, and so I think in the next couple version releases, whatever, they'll probably take care of this for us, which will be a good thing. So, one last email. This is from Vicky. Don't want to leave Vicky out. Hi, Dr. Bill. I have an HP Pavilion computer. I had Windows XP Home Edition on it. One day there was a problem when I ran a CD called Spy Sweeper to see if I needed to get rid of something. I ran it and found a few things, so I deleted them and my computer restarted. When it restarted, it went to the logon page. I put my name in and it said logging in, and then it logged off right after. Then I could never get it to let me log in. I borrowed a recovery CD from my friend. She had Windows XP Home Edition, but her computer was an E-machine. Notice, the recovery CD that she was using was from an E-machine she was trying to use on an HP Pavilion. I ran the CD. When the computer restarted, a black screen came up saying Windows could not open because the Windows root system 32 NTOSKRNL.exe is missing or corrupt. That's the NT kernel, by the way. And I borrowed an installation CD, but so far I've not found the right thing to do to make it run Windows XP. Your help would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, Vicky. Okay. Vicky, here's the thing. These recovery CDs are unique to the computer that you're working on. Okay? So you would need the recovery CD from your HP Pavilion to get all the right drivers and all the right configuration settings and everything like you really need it to be. If you use the eMachine one, it's dead. Okay? So, I hope that by now, because you sent me this email some time back, and I'm sorry I haven't answered it before then. Sorry about that. Anyway, here's the thing. What you're going to need to do is you're going to need to wipe that hard drive completely, and you're going to need to reinstall Windows. And sorry about that. That's just the way it is. Now, you're saying to yourself, self, what about all of the data that I need? Well, there's good news. You can go to Knopix.org. That's with a K-N, K-N-O-P-P-I-X, Knopix.org. Download the Knopix ISO file. Use someone else's computer, because obviously yours is trashed, to burn an ISO of the Knopix Linux CD. Boot your computer off of the Knopix CD and mount your C drive, which will actually happen automatically, you see, by Knopix doing what it does. It's just so cool. And then stick a USB thumb drive into your computer. Knopix will recognize the USB thumb drive and come up and go ping and put that USB thumb drive right there on the screen, and then you can drag your data from your C drive that it mounted in Knopix to your USB drive and save off all your data, all your documents, various things that you want, you know, whatever. Bring it all over. Get it onto your thumb drive. Now, if you've got more than what will fit on a typical thumb drive, you might have to go out and get you a USB external hard drive, like I have an 80 gig one that I can plug into my USB and it'll recognize that, and that's a good thing. So, if you don't have all of that stuff, then find a local geeky techie guy or gal who has all that stuff and get them to do it for you. Most people know a geeky person that they can do this. I wouldn't, you know, well, okay. I start to say I wouldn't go to somebody that does this for a living and pay them lots of money, because I just told you what they're going to do and you could do the same thing for free, assuming that you can borrow or beg or whatever all of that stuff that you need to get it done. You see, doing this myself all the time, I just find it hard to pay somebody several hundreds of dollars to do something that I can do and not cost a thing, but that's just me. Okay, we've had our emails, we've had our answers, we've had our Geek Culture of the Week, we've had all of this stuff. See, now you got me calling it Geek Culture of the Week. It's not Geek Culture of the Week, it's just Geek Culture, the Geek Software of the Week. Yeah. Okay, Geek Software of the Week makes me hit the drum roll. But I'm having a weird podcast. Have you noticed that? I guess that's because it's just time to roll on out of here. There's that music. Just confirms it. It's time to go. Remember, until next week, the doctor is so out of here.